morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today's Thursday, March 19th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm William Delta.
Will taxes bail back some of taxpayers' money that got sucked up by AIG executives? Let's take a look.
Mexico's decision to impose tariffs on American goods could cost Oregon exporters.
And in Dallas, Texas, school employees handled troubled students by staging caged bare-knuckle fights.
Portland area weather mostly cloudy in the north, not as much rain today, highs around 55. Tonight, overcast and wet, temperatures in the 40s, and more the same tomorrow.
First, we go to regional headlines from around Cascadia. Two key federal agencies announced an agreement yesterday. They said would speed development of offshore energy projects, including wave, tidal, wind, and solar power along the nation's coasts. The secretaries of the Department of Interior and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission pledged to eliminate what they call, and this is a quote, bureaucratic turf battles, and they would also, another quote, sweep aside red tape. Such projects, particularly wave energy, have raised concerns among Oregon fishermen about clogging up the oceans, and other coastal groups have other environmental issues. Are we looking at the first glimmerings of an offshore LNG terminal? You heard it here first.
Here are the guys that put the crooked in the Crooked River Ranch Water Company. Attorney General John Kroger says the state has joined a lawsuit seeking to force out water company managers accused of using the nonprofit water district for personal gain. The lawsuit accuses the general manager of improperly borrowing money and equipment and taking excessive pay. It also accuses two district directors of using their own positions to arrange contracts with their own businesses.
More water mismanagement. We're going to see a lot more of this as water becomes more and more precious and there's less and less of it. Somewhere, someone still believes that poisoning the environment makes good business sense. In this case, the somewhere is Eugene and the someone is Egg, Sand, and Gravel. The state has fined the company $41,000 for wastewater mismanagement that likely released pollutants into the Mackenzie River. The company also failed to submit a revised stormwater pollution control plan, probably because they didn't have one.
The W.R. Grace and Company criminal trial recessed early yesterday after a juror threatened to throw up. A flu virus apparently spread through the jury room. Weakened respiratory systems, you think?
Could be. Alaska's got more than moose in its crosshairs. The state has started shooting wolves from helicopters in Alaska's eastern interior. What possible threat could the animals present in a pristine wilderness area where there are few people and fewer farm animals? The project has raised concerns among officials at nearby Yukon Charley Rivers National Preserve, where predator control is prohibited. The plan is to nail 200 wolves, leaving just 100 to run free. This from the state that gave us Sarah Palin.
Mexico spent $748 million last year on goods from Oregon. Now the U.S. has gone and pissed off our neighbor to the south by banning its trucks entering the U.S. Oregon's leaders think that could cost Oregon exporters tens of millions of dollars. Mexico chose its... Felipe Calderon is, of course, a right-wing patsy picked by the Bush administration.
For its purposes. Yesterday, the Oregon Transportation Commission unanimously approved $101 million in stimulus spending that will rebuild highways, ports, and sidewalks across the state. Finally, an idea that will create solid, well-paid jobs, as contrasted with paying teenagers to cut down the last of the state's trees during summer holidays. Whatever happened to street racing?
Maybe it's something in the American psyche. Given half a chance, some people take advantage of their fellow Americans. Oregon regulators have fined two Portland area men and two companies about $440,000 for illegally selling risky investments by telephone in a boiler room operation.
You see, what it gets me, Liam, is there's all the discussion amongst the NGOs and United Nations officials about aid to Africa gets lost in a swamp of corruption. The money just goes in, flows in, and disappears. But yet, just look around,
yeah.
Right here in our own backyards. My guest today is an associate professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention, and author of The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One, The Man Who Blew the Whistle on the Keating Five, and much, much more. William Black joins us this morning to talk about the AIG bonuses and the answer to the question of the day, how could we let this happen? Good morning. Welcome, Bill.
Good morning. Good to hear from God's country.
Thanks for being with us today. So, AIG has been top of the news all week long. It's interesting. How, a couple decades ago, who would have thought the big news story of the day would be economic in nature, and yet here we are.
Well, I would have thought it would be economic in nature,
course,
but that's
right.
What I study.
Your time is here. Well, actually, it has always been here, even the Keating Five and what you did then. Can you talk a little bit about, elimination of banking regulations, rolling back of Glass-Steagall prohibitions on banks doing everything, sell vacuum cleaners and hamburgers, and how we got into this mess in the first place with AIG?
Yeah, and that's a good question. It certainly started under the Clinton administration. Actually, it started under the Reagan administration, but continued under Clinton with the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, which had separated and said you couldn't run an investment bank and a commercial bank at the same time because of dangerous conflicts of interest that had helped produce the Great Depression. But we, of course, became too smart for ourselves and decided, in the modern era, there'd be no problem. Of course, that proved to be completely wrong.
We'd regulate ourselves, right? The banks would just, they'd be so good that they'd regulate themselves, right?
Yes, that was explicitly said. In fact, the position was so extreme of the right-wing economists that they actually said not only did we not need regulation against fraud, we didn't even need laws against fraud because the marketplace... The free marketplace eliminates fraud immediately. Well, what it does instead, of course, is if you gain a competitive advantage through fraud, then the marketplace causes you to have whatever the worst elements are, the least ethical, most fraudulent. If they gain a competitive advantage, they put the honest business people out of business, and then they can run free and loot us in the absence of regulation. The classic one under the Bush administration is the guy they first put in charge of the Office of Thrift Supervision, which was supposed to regulate neighbors of yours, WAMU, one of the big non-prime disasters. Right?
Yeah.
And this guy came to a press conference with a chainsaw and the rules to demonstrate his intention to destroy regulation. And, of course, he succeeded in that, and the results were catastrophic for the nation.
Is there any chance at all of getting back on track? What are the chances of establishing some sort of regulatory agency that is above all of, the dirt?
Well, it's actually very possible if you put good people in to run it. But instead of putting people in that have displayed the highest integrity and the greatest success, and instead of using methods that we've used in the past under many different administrations of all different ideologies that have worked in the past, we've junked that and instead... we have failed bankers giving advice about failed assets to failed regulators.
Excuse me, Bill. This is Liam. Aren't we going to have to take a global approach to this, or it won't work on a local level, will it?
Well, it won't work on a local level, but the United States is actually such a massive player that if the United States simply cleaned up its own house, it would substantially reduce the global crisis as well. You're certainly right that we need international cooperation, for example, against the tax havens, which are not simply tax havens where the richest people in the world and the richest corporations in the world evade all taxation, but they also serve, as we call them, vectors that spread epidemics of fraud throughout the world. And so, yes, we need international cooperation to crack down on those aspects.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning, even briefly. My guest has been William Black, Professor of Law and Economics at University of Missouri, Kansas City. Thank you so much for that, Bill.
Thank you.
Walmart is awarding approximately $2 billion to its U.S. hourly employees through financial incentives. This after the world's largest retailer gained market share in a recession.
Are you bothered by AIG bonuses on your dime? Well, try this. The massive, now mostly government-owned, nearly 80% insurer AIG is slated to shell out billions of dollars to hedge funds that bet against the U.S. housing market. They bet against them. In other words, vulture investors that bet the U.S. housing market would crumble are scheduled to receive billions of dollars in premiums on their bets, even though many of them never had a material investment in the housing market in the first place. And the cash paid out to these investors is coming from, you guessed it, us.
The Federal Reserve is keeping Wall Street's big rally alive and giving the Treasury market a boost as well by pumping about $1 trillion into the economy. That figure includes the purchase of $300 billion worth of long-term Treasury securities over the next 6 months. The idea is to boost the housing market, and it might work if we can keep the hogs out of the trough.
And, of course, the question, what could go wrong? Well, we could try, if you fix this, we could try taxing the bastards. That's great, but how much and who do we tax? 90%, 35% tax the companies that receive bailout money, or the individuals who got that big check in the sky? Who's going to get it and where's it going to come from? Here to talk about these burning questions is KBOO, Spencer Raymond. Good morning, Spencer.
Hi, Chris. Yeah, they really are burning questions, and it's the House, specifically the House Finance Committee this morning that is really struggling over this. They're really talking about it. And what the House is proposing now is a 90% tax on the bonuses to these executives, specifically AIG and the other companies that received government money, a tax on the bonuses if a company received bailout money. Because after it was broken over the weekend that these executives at AIG were getting six-figure bonuses after the Fed had given them money, a lot of people were outraged. And instead of, you know, retracting those bonuses or forcing them to give them back, the House is basically saying, hey, we can just tax them and get that money out. Barney Frank, the chair of the House Finance Committee, he is really championing this. And it started after a long talk they had with the AIG CEO yesterday about what exactly is going on, why are these people getting bonuses when AIG is in the state that it's in.
Well, what about the other idea from Max, both of these men on the senators on the Finance Committee, Max Baucus and Charles Grassley, Republican Charles Grassley, who have suggested taxing the actual executive 35% and taxing the company itself 35%, because after all, it is our money that went in to the company, and perhaps the company's also... And, of course, why 35? How did they come up with a number like that?
Yeah, well, yeah, 35 or 90, how do they come up with 90? I mean, it's tough because they are basically catching themselves and saying, uh-oh, you know, this is something we didn't think about when we were doling out this money to these banks. Now there's money going to places that we as the federal government, because we gave these banks money, we don't approve of, but we didn't think about that before we gave it out. So they're trying to retroactively fix kind of an oversight, whether they thought about it or not, months ago when they made these bailouts. They're trying to get it back. And 90%, 35%, be it if you tax the individuals, the CEOs, or the companies, they're trying to fix their mistakes. But then if you start taxing the companies, you know, how the companies have to function, they have to get better, and if you start taxing them too much, that could go against what the whole bailout system is supposed to do in the first place.
We might as well get the money back, though, because otherwise they're just going to hand it out to the people that bet against us, that shorted the American housing market. Spencer, that's all that we have time for this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. That, of course, was KBOO's reporter Spencer Raymond joining us with DC Dirt. Thank you so much for that, Spencer.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Thursday, March 19th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Emily Young. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio, 90.7 FM. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoint. Catherine Austin Fitz on AIG and the bonuses.
Thanks for listening and have a good day. And remember, whenever you hear someone say, what could go wrong,